Тексты для аудирования к тренировочным заданиям. Вариант 2. Сейчас вы будете выполнять задания по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит 2 раза. После первого и второго прослушиваний у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1. Задание первое. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего A-F и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись 2. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
Susie and I collect and buy each other models of frogs. It all started as a silly joke at the office party, but now we're serious collectors. I've been trying to find an interesting one for her birthday, but it's not easy. She, that is we, have so many now. They are made from clay, porcelain, wood, plastic, and even soap and wax. Some are the size of footballs, and others the size of a match head. I'm hoping to get a Japanese netsuke that I have seen on eBay.
Speaker B. Most people think fishermen are mad, getting up at an unspeakable hour to be by a lake or a riverbank. To remain there for untold hours regardless of weather, whilst, for the most part, absolutely nothing happens. I understand their incredulity completely. But the truth is that I find fishing the perfect way to deal with my stress levels. When I'm fishing, it is as if my mind gradually empties. When I get back home, I feel as if I have been away for months.
Speaker C.
I wish I had a hobby. I kind of like everything, but I am not really fascinated by anything in particular. Dad drives a taxi. He says all the drivers have hobbies, as they often get hours of waiting between jobs. Some play golf. Others have chess games, or learn languages, or teach themselves guitar. I would like to have something like that, but what? I suppose there is nothing wrong with finding everything mildly interesting, but I hope one day I'll find something really distracting.
Speaker D. Football training is usually on a Wednesday night, but I often do a second session on a Friday. The keenest players, rather than the most gifted, generally get picked to start the game in our Sunday league. Taking this into account, I made a superhuman effort to get there Friday evening, and I'm glad I did. The scout for Aston Villa was there. He watched a whole game, and Baz and I are both going to Villa Park for a trial.
Speaker E.
Evan Zimmerman loves watches. He's so passionate about collecting watches, in fact, that 4 years ago he quit his day job as a lawyer and became the managing director of New York's Antiquorium, the largest watch auction house in the world. Now, immersed in the world of watches, Zimmerman, 40, can keep an eager eye on rare timepieces as they become available to add to his constantly evolving personal collection.
Speaker F.
I live in Brighton, where there is rarely any decent surf. But it has not stopped the development of a local scene. Of course, we're all mad, watching surf cams day after day hoping to see some waves. We pine for our holidays when we can travel away to some decent surf location for a week or two. But for the most part, we dream, torture ourselves watching surf videos or create sad websites like www.nosurfingbrighton.co.uk.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
Speaker A.
Susie and I collect and buy each other models of frogs. It all started as a silly joke at the office party, but now we're serious collectors. I've been trying to find an interesting one for her birthday, but it's not easy. She, that is we, have so many now. They are made from clay, porcelain, wood, plastic, and even soap and wax. Some are the size of footballs and others the size of a match head. I'm hoping to get a Japanese netsuk that I have seen on eBay.
Speaker B.
Most people think fishermen are mad, getting up at an unspeakable hour to be by a lake or a riverbank. To remain there for untold hours regardless of weather, whilst, for the most part, absolutely nothing happens. I understand their incredulity completely. But the truth is that I find fishing the perfect way to deal with my stress levels. When I'm fishing, it is as if my mind gradually empties. When I get back home, I feel as if I have been away for months.
Speaker C.
I wish I had a hobby. I kind of like everything, but I'm not really fascinated by anything in particular. Dad drives a taxi. He says all the drivers have hobbies, as they often get hours of waiting between jobs. Some play golf. Others have chess games, or learn languages, or teach themselves guitar. I would like to have something like that, but what? I suppose there is nothing wrong with finding everything mildly interesting, but I hope one day I'll find something really distracting.
Speaker D.
Football training is usually on a Wednesday night, but I often do a second session on a Friday. The keenest players, rather than the most gifted, generally get picked to start the game in our Sunday league. Taking this into account, I made a superhuman effort to get there Friday evening, and I'm glad I did. The scout for Aston Villa was there. He watched a whole game, and Baz and I are both going to Villa Park for a trial.
Speaker E.
Evan Zimmerman loves watches. He's so passionate about collecting watches, in fact, that 4 years ago he quit his day job as a lawyer and became the managing director of New York's Antiquorium, the largest watch auction house in the world. Now, immersed in the world of watches, Zimmerman, 40, can keep an eager eye on rare timepieces as they become available to add to his constantly evolving personal collection.
Speaker F.
I live in Brighton, where there is rarely any decent surf. But it has not stopped the development of a local scene. Of course, we're all mad, watching surf cams day after day hoping to see some waves. We pine for our holidays when we can travel away to some decent surf location for a week or two. But for the most part, we dream, torture ourselves watching surf videos or create sad websites like www.nosurfingbrighton.co.uk.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание второе. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано, то есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды.
Now we are ready to start. Which person in history would you most have liked to be?
Victor, I am trying to watch TV.
Yes, you are watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which means that actually you are completely bored and need stimulating discussion.
I like this programme. The questions are interesting. It's you who are bored. Why don't you go and read a book? Or get on with that wretched history essay you've been writing. What is it? On social reform in the middle 19th century? It sounds as interesting as watching paint drying.
The essay, I admit, is rather boring. There are too many laws, acts and committees, and not enough action in these years. But there were some remarkable individuals at that time. Florence Nightingale, for example. Would you like to have been her? I can tell you she lived a long life, 90 years, I think, and was respected and honoured in her lifetime.
I know about Nightingale. She was an aristocrat, wasn't she? Her rich family tried to stop her from becoming a nurse and going to war. What was the nickname they gave her?
She was known as the Lady of the Lamp because she moved among the sick and wounded carrying a lamp. The soldiers thought she was like an angel.
Enough already. I'm watching TV.
Her work changed everything in respect to hygiene and sanitation. Her birthday, the 12th of May, is International Nurses Day, and all new nurses take the Nightingale Pledge.
No.
What do you mean, no?
No, I wouldn't have wanted to be Florence Nightingale, although of course I admire her. I wouldn't want to have spent my life among the sick and injured. I'm just not that kind of person. Also, she had so much opposition from men who thought women were only fit to be wives and mothers. To be honest, I'm perfectly happy being me.
Cleopatra? Jane Austen? Nancy Astor? Billie Holiday? Coco Chanel?
Nancy Astor's certainly one of my all-time heroines and role models. She was clever and funny, the first woman MP, and so important in the fight for women's equality. She said, "We are not asking for superiority, for we have always had that. All we seek is equality."
Yes, I see. So you would have liked to have been Nancy, wouldn't you?
What I would like, brother dear, is to watch my TV programme. Ah, look, it's finishing now.
And my programme's on next, Top Gear.
I think you'll be remembered by history as Victor the Annoying.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again. Which person in history would you most have liked to be?
Victor, I am trying to watch TV.
Yes, you are watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which means that actually you are completely bored and need stimulating discussion.
I like this programme. The questions are interesting. It's you who are bored. Why don't you go and read a book? Or get on with that wretched history essay you've been writing. What is it? On social reform in the middle 19th century? It sounds as interesting as watching paint drying.
The essay, I admit, is rather boring. There are too many laws, acts and committees, and not enough action in these years. But there were some remarkable individuals at that time. Florence Nightingale, for example. Would you like to have been her? I can tell you she lived a long life, 90 years, I think, and was respected and honoured in her lifetime.
I know about Nightingale. She was an aristocrat, wasn't she? Her rich family tried to stop her from becoming a nurse and going to war. What was the nickname they gave her?
She was known as the Lady of the Lamp because she moved among the sick and wounded carrying a lamp. The soldiers thought she was like an angel.
Enough already. I'm watching TV.
Her work changed everything in respect to hygiene and sanitation. Her birthday, the 12th of May, is International Nurses Day, and all new nurses take the Nightingale Pledge.
No.
What do you mean, no?
No, I wouldn't have wanted to be Florence Nightingale, although of course I admire her. I wouldn't want to have spent my life among the sick and injured. I'm just not that kind of person. Also, she had so much opposition from men who thought women were only fit to be wives and mothers. To be honest, I'm perfectly happy being me.
Cleopatra? Jane Austen? Nancy Astor? Billie Holiday? Coco Chanel?
Nancy Astor's certainly one of my all-time heroines and role models. She was clever and funny, the first woman MP, and so important in the fight for women's equality. She said, "We are not asking for superiority, for we have always had that. All we seek is equality."
Yes, I see. So you would have liked to have been Nancy, wouldn't you?
What I would like, brother dear, is to watch my TV programme. Ah, look, it's finishing now.
And my programme's on next, Top Gear.
I think you'll be remembered by history as Victor the Annoying.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3-9. Вы услышите рассказ. В заданиях 3-9 обведите цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start. Language and me. Language has always been a struggle. When I was a very young child, my father was working on his dissertation at Yale University. My mother worked to earn a living while he climbed the academic ladder. That left me with a Negro maid for a companion. Everyone was too busy to talk, so I grew up largely without language, or, at most, its very basics. An angry rebuke here, a grunt there. My brother, 2 years older, might have made an effort, but he was in elementary school and thought I was too dumb to spend time with. I grew to be 5 years old, talking very little and very badly. These are the years in which the cells that wire the brain for language are most active, and less so thereafter. Boys develop language later than girls, so that added another burden as I struggled through primary school. By the time I was beginning to make progress, the family moved to another part of the country that had a very different dialect, as well as some odd social customs that led me to avoid conversation. I remember trying to speak, like they did, by saying, "Yes, sir," and "Yes, ma'am," when before I'd answered adults with a polite "yes," "no." Then in my effort to use the new tongue, I made a fatal mistake. I violated regional customs by saying, "Yes, ma'am," to a black woman, bringing ridicule and contempt on myself by unforgiving classmates. Thereafter, I decided to remain mostly mute. In secondary school, I was a good enough student, but lazy, and satisfied with B grades. I didn't have the language skills, nor did I come from the right part of the country to feel comfortable talking to girls. Instead, I drew attention to myself in sports and mathematics. I could work math problems faster than the instructor, which brought me certain fame. And I played basketball better than most at that school. As I approached my senior year, my parents decided to do something about my verbal poverty, neglected for so long, by insisting that I enroll in a course in Latin. By the time I was old enough to rebel, so I enrolled like a good son and failed without a second thought. Skill in math, athletic ability, and the fact that my father was a professor who passed on to me and my brother good textbook English earned me an appointment to the U.S. Naval Academy. By that time, the course of study was the same for everyone, electrical engineering, with one exception, foreign language. We could choose the language we wanted to study, but a problem remained. How would I, with my lack of verbal skill, compete with those who had studied 3 years of French in high school, 4 years of Spanish, or two of German? The solution became obvious when I saw the list of choices. I would take Russian and be assured of a level playing field. Had there been Chinese or Swahili on the list, the choice might have taken longer. Russian language studies at the Naval Academy opened new worlds. Little need be said about the quality of instruction, which was designed solely to produce junior naval officers with useful skills. Instruction consisted of memorizing pages of technical vocabulary that might be used in talking to a Russian pilot who boarded to guide the ship to port, ordering supplies from Russian merchants, joining Russian officers on maneuvers, etc. I left the language program not knowing the Russian words for horse or grass or even green. But it wasn't fatal, for studying the language led to a study of Russian history and literature, which immediately became a passion. What a world! Pushkin and Tolstoy, Dostoevsky and Chekhov, and many, many others opened to an American student who'd been fed nothing but anti-Soviet propaganda since the end of World War II, the Great Patriotic War. In time, the fragile balance between studying naval boilers and Russian life couldn't last. I left the Naval Academy in the third year of study to begin an academic career that focused on Russian history and world civilization. You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again. Language and me. Language has always been a struggle. When I was a very young child, my father was working on his dissertation at Yale University. My mother worked to earn a living while he climbed the academic ladder. Well, that left me with a Negro maid for a companion. Everyone was too busy to talk, so I grew up largely without language, or, at most, its very basics. An angry rebuke here, a grunt there. My brother, 2 years older, might have made an effort, but he was in elementary school and thought I was too dumb to spend time with. I grew to be 5 years old, talking very little and very badly. These are the years in which the cells that wire the brain for language are most active, and less so thereafter. Boys develop language later than girls, so that added another burden as I struggled through primary school. By the time I was beginning to make progress, the family moved to another part of the country that had a very different dialect, as well as some odd social customs that led me to avoid conversation. I remember trying to speak, like they did, by saying, "Yes, sir," and "Yes, ma'am," when before I'd answered adults with a polite, "Yes, no." Then in my effort to use the new tongue, I made a fatal mistake. I violated regional customs by saying, "Yes, ma'am," to a black woman, bringing ridicule and contempt on myself by unforgiving classmates.
Thereafter, I decided to remain mostly mute.
In secondary school, I was a good enough student, but lazy, and satisfied with B grades. I didn't have the language skills, nor did I come from the right part of the country to feel comfortable talking to girls. Instead, I drew attention to myself in sports and mathematics. I could work math problems faster than the instructor, which brought me certain fame. And I played basketball better than most at that school. As I approached my senior year, my parents decided to do something about my verbal poverty, neglected for so long, by insisting that I enroll in a course in Latin. By the time I was old enough to rebel, so I enrolled like a good son and failed without a second thought. Skill in math, athletic ability, and the fact that my father was a professor who passed on to me and my brother good textbook English earned me an appointment to the U.S. Naval Academy. By that time, the course of study was the same for everyone, electrical engineering, with one exception, foreign language. We could choose the language we wanted to study, but a problem remained. How would I, with my lack of verbal skill, compete with those who had studied 3 years of French in high school, 4 years of Spanish, or two of German? The solution became obvious when I saw the list of choices. I would take Russian and be assured of a level playing field. Had there been Chinese or Swahili on the list, the choice might have taken longer. Russian language studies at the Naval Academy opened new worlds. Little need be said about the quality of instruction, which was designed solely to produce junior naval officers with useful skills. Instruction consisted of memorizing pages of technical vocabulary that might be used in talking to a Russian pilot who boarded to guide the ship to port, ordering supplies from Russian merchants, joining Russian officers on maneuvers, etc. I left the language program not knowing the Russian words for horse or grass or even green. But it wasn't fatal, for studying the language led to a study of Russian history and literature, which immediately became a passion. What a world! Pushkin and Tolstoy, Dostoevsky and Chekhov, and many, many others opened to an American student who'd been fed nothing but anti-Soviet propaganda since the end of World War II, the Great Patriotic War. In time, the fragile balance between studying naval boilers and Russian life couldn't last. I left the Naval Academy in the third year of study to begin an academic career that focused on Russian history and world civilization. This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.